Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 44 of the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson, and he, Ben Hobson. Each Tuesday, we'll be bringing you all the latest news, views and interviews from across the running world. Ben, what have we got coming up this week?
Well, namaste, Rick, and namaste, everyone, as this week we're talking about yoga. Joining us in the studio is former Runner's World staff member and now fully-fledged yoga teacher, Annie Rice. From marathons to mountain pose, we discuss the benefits physically and mentally of yoga and why runners should be taking some time to be more mindful. Rick, are you a mindful man?
Well, I'm feeling increasingly om.
Good.
Next to you. What's a yoga instructor's favourite race?
Don't know.
The om.
That's terrible.
Anyway, that's a little runner's joke there. No, mate, I actually, well, I'm training for this mile, aren't I? Trying to run a sub-5-minute mile. So the first week of my four-week training plan.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's three hard sessions, which are a kind of interval session, a tempo-y session, and a hill session.
Right.
And there were two short, easy runs into that. So not big mileage, but quite high on intensity.
So you need some yoga.
Oh, I need some yoga.
To really just mellow you out, I think.
Yeah, it's been cool, actually. It's a big
Are you feeling
difference.
Positive now?
Well, I'm feeling, I think it's within the realms of possibility. And also, you know, I think doing a mile can feel like, why are you doing a mile? What are you doing a mile for? But I think it'll also have some great knock-on effects for like 5K time. So I'm hoping to kind of do a best 5K time off the back of this. And it just feels good to run. It's exhilarating running quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you haven't visited that area of existence, because it is a different existence when you start getting really like, oh, wow, this hurts, and like threshold that area of running.
Sure.
I think if you haven't visited there for a while, when you suddenly get past how uncomfortable it is, it becomes that sort of type A fun, doesn't it? Where you're just like, oh, this is, oh, that last rep was horrible.
Yeah, I had to do some hill reps on Sunday. So it was essentially 9 hill reps, sort of minute hill reps.
Yeah.
And, it was pretty cold on Sunday night.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I'm going out there on my own, running up this hill close to Sydenham.
Burny lungs.
And actually, in the same way, I really enjoyed it. And I was actually, it was a bit like kind of money in the bank getting it done. I was like, I did it. I've done a full week there. That's decent. And I need to, you know, I need to carry on doing that. I need to give the training the respect it deserves, because it's, if I do run under 5, I won't be like, oh, I ran 4:45. It'll be 4:58, so it's like marginal stuff, this, you know. But no, I'm enjoying it, mate. Also, I was in your neck of the woods on the weekend.
How was that?
So I was down in close to Cooper's Hill, the cheese rolling.
You were?
Event.
Which
is, you know, this cheese rolling championship where they kind of follow the giant cheese down the hill.
Stuff of legends.
It was a... I honestly don't know how anyone has survived running down that hill, because it looks vertical, and also on top of that, it's not smooth.
It's a big bumpy hill.
But lovely part of the world. We were just down for a weekend, and it didn't make me want to do the cheese roll in there.
This wasn't the inaugural Rick Pearson does cheese roll.
No, that's a challenge too far, Ben. But it's your local manor, so maybe you could.
No, you're right.
Throw yourself into it.
No, I've watched it too many times and seen too many injuries to be foolish enough to go and attempt it. But anyway, let's. I think we should get our guest in.
Let's do it.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete.
Annie, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So, Annie, what came first, a love of running or a love of yoga?
Love of running.
Right.
Long way before.
Yeah.
And what was? Where did that start?
Running actually started as just to do some sports. I'd never done any sports, and that was the simplest, least equipment necessary.
Right. Got it.
And that was a lot of just running and Davina McCall exercise videos before anything
nice.
Like yoga came.
And what sort of age were you when you got into yoga then?
So 21.
Okay.
20, 21. Running about 18.
And was it a direct... Was there a correlation between the two? Or did like one happen as one as the other one was taking part?
I always started yoga with like yoga for runners videos on YouTube. It was 100%, I just need to stretch. Don't do anything. No one stretches after running, actually, realistically.
Yeah.
And it was just yoga for runners, any yoga poses that will help runners.
Got it.
And it was a lot of YouTube until it was ever a public class.
Right, nice.
So there's lots of different types of yoga. What do you specialise in? What one do you teach?
So I teach the one that the world specialises in,
okay.
Which is just called Vinyasa Flow.
Right.
Not really. That's not actually the one the world... I'm just trying to be funny.
Got it.
just to be clear, that was a joke. Vinyasa Flow is... So it's flow-based, so you spend some time in postures, but you're moving between them.
Okay.
And it varies wildly from, like, incredibly dynamic, some classes. It would be almost like a cardiovascular exercise. But mine is a kind of mellow Vinyasa Flow yoga.
Right.
Can you say that there is a best type of yoga for runners?
You can... No.
No.
But for different purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I actually... As a still quite a keen runner, on a different level, but I still am. Mostly, if you're a runner, you don't really need yoga to be your workout because you're already doing a lot of that. So, it's possibly something more relevant to counter your running. So either something very restorative, which is more just about recovery,
mm-hmm.
and like even more like your nervous system, even than worrying about stretching your muscles. It's just like doing the opposite of what running does to your system. But then I would say relevant if you don't like going to the gym and doing strength stuff and you don't stretch, doing one class is a bit more dynamic in that you'll hold poses. It might be Vinyasa Flow or a Hatha yoga class, which you'll see on timetables. You'll get strong and you'll stretch. And you then maybe don't even, arguably, you don't even need to be going and doing loads of one-legged squats or whatever because you're kind of just doing it by doing a bit of yoga.
Yeah. What would you say is the most common issue that runners have when they come to yoga, and how do you think yoga can help to address some of these common injuries?
The main thing people just say to me is, I can't do yoga because I'm completely inflexible.
Right.
And that would be a runner's response, which is sort of like not even relevant because I think there's a big glorification of being flexible, and it's actually, in the end, being over-flexible isn't helpful for running at all because you need the... holding yourself in. But runners especially, like tight hips, which then leads to like knee issues. Like there's so a chain of events that happens. So clearly foot stuff, a lot of that, like a lot of plantar
fasciitis.
Got
it.
Things like, and then stuff that gets into your ankles. You know, all the classic runners.
Sort of mobility related things is more than
totally,
anything.
Totally, yeah.
Right. And do you think, I think that the great, You're talking about the sort of the workout side of it. I think a lot, the great surprise, certainly that I found, was that yoga is really hard work. Like, I feel like it's part of the recovery, definitely, but the ability to hold poses and to move slowly, I think is a great surprise for lots of people who take it on. And that's probably where the sort of strength from yoga comes from, right?
I think it's a huge shock. I think a lot, it's like with going into any other sport or pursuit, you're suddenly absolutely astounded that your fitness is not translatable to the new thing, and you're not on it. And there's a lot of stuff in yoga. It's just unfamiliar, and there's a lot of strength, and your muscles. If you haven't been and you rock up at a Vinyasa class, and you might come out just sweating and shaking, just because it's so new. And I think that's a lot of your nervous system like getting used to it too.
So if anyone tries it and that was their immediate
reaction, normal.
Go back.
Keep going.
It's
back.
Okay.
It's fine. Normal to hate it for a really long time.
What's been the impact on your running since you started doing yoga? Do you feel like you are more resistant to injury?
I shall I say it? Such a, what if it's not true? And now I get really injured. It's important to note, I don't run in the same way I used to. So that's okay. Obvious. But maybe it's all feeds into each other. But I just don't get injured anymore. And I was full of injuries for years as a runner. Yeah. Always had something. Because I always overtrained. And maybe didn't do anything extra. But I don't have any injuries.
Well, you probably, you supplement certain things with certain things. So mileage mm-hmm. is now equated to teaching and doing yoga, practicing yoga mm-hmm. yourself. So that means less mileage, but stronger.
Stronger. And I enjoy it more.
Yeah.
Because of that, because it's not full of neurosis about the injuries that I'm carrying.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I suppose I also do a lot more swimming and other okay. cardio right. things. But
Rick loves to swim.
I do. And I think that injuries are a huge anxiety for lots of runners. So things that actually can help to make runners' bodies more resilient are a godsend. And I feel like yoga is definitely in that bracket.
Yeah. I think the physical awareness that comes with yoga is... I mean, I'm talking like I've done loads of it. I've probably been to like six classes.
You've done loads.
Well, a bit.
Yeah.
But the physical awareness is the thing that really surprised me, because when we talk about running all the time, we talk about gait and we talk about the muscles that control your legs, and you need a strong core because of posture and stuff like that. But we never tend to really work into how that feels standing still. And that's where yoga was a huge surprise for me. So you stand there and someone says, right, you need to breathe in like this, and you need to adjust your pelvis so it sits like this. And you're suddenly like, oh, wow, like that's how I should be standing. So that's how I should be running. And it kind of translates, right? That awareness of the muscles and how they behave.
I think proprioception.
Got it.
Is huge. And I think that is perhaps one of the reasons that I'm less injured. I used to like just sprain my ankles all the time.
Yeah.
And I think things like that, they're not the things that you, the benefits in inverted commas, that you think yoga would give you, but you just have a better understanding of your body and space. And because of that, and then there's basics of like your ankle mobility and stability is better because you've stood on one leg a lot.
Yeah, right.
But they feed into each other. And I think it's huge that, I mean, how far into yoga speak I can get, but listening to your body is a thing that as runners we sometimes like train ourselves out of, because like you have to push to things that feel disgusting to get the and you do. I think that's still relevant, but then I think there's a little bit of an intelligence of when it's like good pain and when it's this is breaking me.
Definitely.
A lot of runners, I think, consider themselves to be time poor, not to use a kind of technical time poor.
Yeah, got it.
How much yoga, let's say in a week, is it enough to do yoga once a week, or do you need to be doing it like twice or three times?
Oh, 100%. Do it once a week. Do it every other week. It's better than not doing it at all.
Okay.
And it like might be a nicer thing to go to if you have 1 hour, you can do a whole class, then you get the whole experience. But if you're like, oh, I could give it 10 minutes a day. That's do a YouTube video.
Yeah,
there's loads of them.
So actually that's quite easy, isn't it, to fit into your week if you're like, I need to do 10 minutes of this each day. Most people can find 10 minutes, I think, in their schedule.
And what about I think that taking that time out, you're talking about the recovery again and actually the mental benefits of doing yoga. I think it's one of the one times in the middle of the day where I've realised that I'm allowed to lie down and have a rest. Right, and you can just sign that off as I'm in a yoga class. But it's amazing how beneficial that is when you're just allowed to lie down, close your eyes, and suddenly you've like 10 minutes of resting like that. You're like, oh, wow, that feels so much better.
Mm-hmm. And someone's saying, like, relax your jaw. And you're like, oh, my God, my jaw is clenching. Rick's just doing it.
No,
my jaw was tense,
I've heard that actually when you're pushing with running, quite often you tense in the face and the neck as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was always a sign of a sprinter running well, wasn't it? Mm. That their mouths and everything would move.
Oh, really? Because they're relaxed.
Yeah, they're relaxed.
They're relaxed. So when they're sprinting and the face looks like it's moving around a lot, it's because they're relaxed in their position. Mm. Mm-hmm. So they're driving forward and they're not tense and then making it more difficult to move.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's, you know, relaxing the jaw. It's all in the jaw.
Relax your jaw and you'll run better forever.
Yeah, that's it.
Signed off.
Smile and relax your jaw. Yeah, apparently it's a good training key, if particularly for hard stuff like, how relaxed is your jaw?
Yeah.
Which is strange, really, in some ways, but there you go.
But have you found, did you personally find the mental benefits of practicing yoga, did it help you in calmness? Or is it because, as you say, like neurologically and like the nervous system of running is quite a lot of duress, and then doing the exact opposite, which some people might say is just sitting down and relaxing and watching TV, but taking that the mindfulness of yoga, is that?
I think, I don't know, as a I had to get my entry point needed to be a kind of yoga class that would make me sweat, because I just, my mindset was much more like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, I've only got an hour. Like you said, I want to feel something. And I think that's so valid. And I think it took a really long time to be okay. I hated the lying down bit at the end for so long because it just felt completely unproductive. And I think that is, I mean, that says a lot. Like, she really needed to lie down because that stuff that's hardest is the stuff you need to do.
Yeah.
And it's fine if you don't go into in a room full of strangers and you don't feel completely relaxed lying down on the floor with your eyes closed. Like, it's quite weird.
Yeah.
But eventually it goes in, and I think start with the most extreme yoga class in the world if that's what you need, because that's the closest to being a runner.
Yeah.
But I think naturally it just works, and it does just work until you're like, you let yourself lie.
Are there any kind of general, I'm just trying to think about if there were like three or four poses that are particularly good for runners, could you,
if they're googling it,
condense,
could you, can, yeah,
I think about this all the time. If I was to just only allowed to be able to do three things, and I think they'd be the most relevant, I would put in a lying down twist.
Okay.
So supine twist might be what you'd Google.
Right.
You're on your back, arm shape spread out like a T.
Yeah.
Your knees tuck into your chest first.
Yeah.
And then you take your knees all the way over to your right.
Okay, yeah.
And then you hold it, if we're talking breaths, 5 breaths is enough.
Yeah. Right.
Seconds, 20 seconds, a minute would be great. Same the other side. Simple.
Okay. Nice, very simple. Yeah, got that.
I'm going to put in a squat, like a deep squat, feet quite wide, wider than your hips. You get down low. I think this is more useful. You put your elbows on top of your knees.
Right.
You push all of your body weight to push your knees apart, and then your hips just keep getting lower. You breathe, and that's hips, lower back is a big one. So inner thighs, hips, lower back. You're getting, and it's very strengthening too. And then I would put in for runners, again, lying down, a figure of four stretch, which is a similar to like a gym stretch. So it's like a lying down pigeon pose. One ankle crosses over the opposite knee.
Yeah.
Your hands hold the leg of the knee that's crossed over, and you pull that leg in.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and that's your hips, again, lower back, but that's the one that will feel possibly the most intense.
Yeah,
yeah, just because of
that. And maybe a forward fold if you've got a minute.
You've got
that. Bend your knees loads in a forward fold.
Is that's like touching your toes with
bending
knees?
Yeah, but not worrying
knees.
About how far you are from your toes. Just folding forwards, hold your elbows or your head. You get heavy.
Yeah.
Sway.
Yeah.
You talked about breath.
Breathing.
Now, are we all doing it wrong?
Runners?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of the Wim Hof vibes. Have you guys heard about him? I mean, he's not yoga breath. This is just going off onto one. But the new thinking is all in and out through your nose.
Right.
And I have a teacher who does every physical thing, breathing in and out through your nose. I have not managed to run breathing in and out through my nose.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah, right.
You've got to go very slowly to start off with.
Very slowly to start with. But allegedly, because I think some pros do it, don't they?
Yeah, I've heard it's this nose breathing method, and it's a good way of staying within, so say like you do it on heart rate, right? So your heart rate could be elevated by other things than running, right? So it could be like caffeine, it could be a stressful day at work, whereas you can't push hard and just breathe in and out for your nose because it's just physically too difficult. So you have to be going
slowly.
It's a natural limiter,
right.
But then your tolerance will get
better
and better. It's the same as like cold water swimming, I think.
Yeah,
that's right, the benefits that it has. But can't do that, so let's not worry about that. It's just a different type of breath.
Yeah, yeah. But in yoga, there's always the focus of breathing into the stomach, into your belly.
Or getting your breath lower, because and this is where it's relevant for runners and most of us. We hold a lot of tension in our diaphragm, which is the bit between your chest and your belly, so much.
Mm.
And if you just press just there and like start to dig around, it won't feel
nice.
We're
all doing it.
And get a bit up, a bit higher.
Yeah.
That holds the weight of the world.
Right.
And when you're breathing as a runner, you're breathing up in your chest. So because it has to be shallow breathing because you need more.
Right.
So getting your breath deeper, diaphragmatic breath, you're just building your capacity to breathe, which as any sports or any human, it's only going to be a good thing. And getting your breath into your back too. So it's not just... Because if it's just here, also this is like anxious breathing, isn't it? Like if you have a panic attack, you're breathing here. And it's a similar thing that happens when you run. Yeah. So getting it lower.
Spreading it. All right. Well,
does that take quite a lot of time to kind of master diaphragmatic breathing?
I don't think it's like such a thing as like mastering anything. Okay. Probably haven't done
is
that
the
yet.
But, is it count? So there's the sort of four in, five out.
Yeah.
Or however many. Is that kind of, is that how a good way to start?
There's a few things. I think a good way is bringing your hands onto your body so you can see, like, you know, say you did one in your belly, some at your middle, like cupping your ribs, and then some hands on your chest. You'll notice, like, oh, it's really, some be different for everyone. It's really easy for me to breathe here, getting nothing here, a bit here. And then just that. And then
almost,
you can count.
Almost forcing the hands, right?
Yeah, because having your hands here, your body just is like a, giving your body a little bit of intelligence. Like you get some feedback so you can breathe much more easily when your hands are there.
Yeah.
And you're just practicing. It's, again, it's neural pathway stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're building up this mapping in your body.
Yeah.
And I think there's loads you can just probably Google. Calming breathing techniques.
What about... hot yoga, which I feel like it has become very, very popular over the last 10 years. Do you think that's even more beneficial than kind of room temperature yoga, or is it just depending on what you want?
Yeah, I don't think it's more beneficial or less. Less if you don't hydrate afterwards, because then you just become... I used to teach a lot of hot yoga and was extremely exhausted because it's a lot on your... It's a bigger stress on your body.
Yeah.
Arguably, it helps you to... The people who would argue a case for hot yoga would say it helps you to get into it because you have so much physical sensation. So you're a bit more like, oh, yeah, sweating in this. The like people who are a bit nervous of it might say that it makes you stretch more than you probably should because you feel more flexible, so you push. But I don't know that it would make you more prone to injuries. But it's great if you really like to feel a lot of physical release. And so you like running and you want to do yoga that makes you feel a lot and you sweat and you feel like you work really hard. It's great for that.
What would you say is one big misconception about yoga?
Good one. The biggest thing I get from, I just say normal people. And when I say normal people, I mean everyone. I mean, if you don't see yourself as a yogi, the main thing I get is what I said earlier, is I'm not at all flexible. So I think the biggest thing is thinking that you have to be. And I would go as far as saying it's like unhelpful for your body to be that flexible. It's far more interesting to be more mobile and stronger. And I think there's just, it's changing because yoga is so mainstream now, but there's still a lot of fear of it being weird.
Yeah.
You know, it being...
Chanting.
And culty, or, you know, all of the things that might make people not want to go into that space for fear of other. And mostly it's not. Yeah. Mostly.
You can still find classes out there,
I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's great.
So are you now purely a runner for freedom and well-being rather than racing or anything like that?
I'd say yes. I wouldn't cross it off the future forever that I won't do another race. I wouldn't ever try to do another marathon.
No.
Because that ended badly the last time.
Yeah, and he got a stress fracture.
But I had to stop at the 40-kilometre mark of the race.
Oh, wow, that's close, isn't it?
So close. I had done one before, just so everyone
okay,
doesn't
that's
know.
Fine,
I have completed
then,
one.
Yeah.
40-kilometre in an
stopping
ambulance.
Stopping at 40.
That is sad.
Possibly put you off.
Well, I was like, I want to get back out there. But I was just like, I don't think it's very good for me. My body always got injured training for marathons. And I was like, is this a sensible... I would love to do another half marathon in my life.
There you go.
Because I think that's a fun... That's
yeah,
fun.
It's a good
that's
distance.
That's hard, so hard.
Yeah, but there's a nice achievable. Balance between... Yeah, you know, it's that balance between endurance and distance, but also speed and effort.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you're not like... If you really want to turn it up, it's kind of like a good race to really test yourself.
Totally.
Yeah, I agree.
But not necessarily.
I would try to avoid ever getting involved in times again, because that's what probably was my downfall.
Yeah.
Because I'm just naturally not that fast. I'm trying to get faster. Just hurt me.
where are you teaching yoga, and where can people find out more about it?
my website is just my name, which is Annie Mae Rice Yoga. I actually have a couple of YouTube videos which are really simple. There's one that's like yoga for rest, like a relaxed yoga one, and ones that's like yoga for lower back pain. And they're quite sweet. They're very accessible.
And that's Annie Mae Rice on YouTube?
Yeah, it is.
All right, good. But you also, if anyone's looking for relaxing playlists...
Oh, my God. I've come to the right person.
Right. Annie on Spotify. Find
quite
her.
Quite a bit. Annie Mae Rice on Spotify. I have a blue tick and I make a playlist every week.
Oh, wow.
And they're
right.
About an hour to an hour and 15, and they just tend to be chilled with a little bit of peak. So if you're doing it at home...
There you go.
Great.
They're great.
Brilliant.
Annie, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
You.
That was really interesting.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks very much.
I think you've converted Rick. Namaste.
Namaste.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Off the back of our chat with Kieran,
yep,
we had an email from Julian Wills, who remarked that the gifts that we'd mentioned in the gift guide were too expensive, and we discussed this, and it was correct.
Yeah, I think you're right. On reflection, there were a lot of very good but very pricey gifts in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, to add balance to the mix, I've sat down with the team and yourself, Rick, and we've gone through some highlights of some low-cost running kit that we think would be ideal for, you know, Christmas gifts or all the rest. So, the first one, which I've actually been using a lot recently, is a set of lights by a company called Nog. They're £25. They're front and rear lights. They're little clip-on ones, which makes them exceptionally good for runners because you can literally clip them into your collar or your sock or wherever you want to clip them on. They're USB rechargeable, so there's no batteries needed. So that's, you know, maybe £25 is a bit much for just that, but no batteries. Lasts a 2-year guarantee on them. So, you know, there's a good set of lights there for any runner who's braving the winter, needs to be visible.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good.
There was also the Ultimate Performance Race Magnets. They're £10, and they basically remove the hassle of ever having to pin a number on.
Oh, pinning a number on, man. Like, I have cut myself various times pin a number, because it's rare. It's often you do it in the cold, isn't it?
Yep.
And you kind of go through and you're like, that's the tip of my index well, finger there.
Let that be a problem no more. £10 for some magnetic race numbers. Now, this is a great gift. There's a website called Not on the High Street, and they do lots of people sell things, and there's personalised finishers posters. So if you're doing a race, they've got a long list of races that they've got the route for that they've covered off, and you can get a personalised race finish poster, about £20. So say if you've gone and done the Brighton Half Marathon and it's on their list, they'll have a graphic for it. You get it personalised with a time and everything like that. So that's a really nice little extra gift. There's a Strava mug. I don't know if it's actually official Strava merchandise, but it says All About the Kudos on it.
Right.
It's on Etsy. It's £12. I love Clif bars. You can buy a box of those for about £12 on Wiggle. So, you know, for the hungry runner in your life.
For sure. Yeah.
Clif bars. I think that, you know, they're slightly more normal food rather than, you know, a box of gels.
Agreed.
And then finally, just £2 on Amazon, a Snap-on Hi-Vis wristband or ankle band or whatever it is. One of those, you know, when you're a kid and you had the bands that were like fun.
Like almost like a whip.
Yes. high vis, safety first.
Yeah.
£2 on Amazon.
Be seen, be safe.
There's a whole list of stuff on the Runners World website. We've got like 60 gifts all under like £30 and stuff like that. So go and have a look on the site if you're after any more Christmas gifts on a budget. But thank you, Julian, for your email. You were right. And hopefully a few suggestions there.
Great. Well, another weekend, another running record broken, Ben. This time,
yes,
it was a men's 10,000 metre road record broken on the weekend by Uganda's Joshua Cheptegei. The 23-year-old ran a time of 26 minutes 38 seconds.
That's incredible.
Improving on the previous record of 26 minutes 44 seconds, which was held for a decade by Kenya's Leonard Komon. Cheptegei has some form. He's not just kind of come out of the blue with this. He won the 10,000 metres at the recent World Champs in Doha. But
yes,
his time is nonetheless sensational.
It's mad.
So, yeah, his pace is 2 minutes 40 seconds per kilometre.
Wow.
So, yeah. And he went through the first 5 kilometres in 13 minutes 24 seconds. Not a bad 5K time, but then he sped up.
Negative split.
He was, of course, wearing the Nike Next Percent shoes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vassos was speaking last week about that and had some concerns about whether these shoes are making the records of old seem meaningless. And I guess it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we're just seeing lots and lots of records, distance records broken.
Yeah,
I think it will continue. Yeah.
Yeah, most weekends now.
Yeah.
There tends to be a pink or a green pair of shoes that have been adorning a feat that have broken a record. So it's an interesting one. I mean, it's amazing. I mean,
the running feat is still spectacular, undoubtedly.
For sure.
Undoubtedly. But it does seem a bit like, wow, a lot of these old records are going to tumble, possibly because of advances in not only fitness, but footwear.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, who are we to decide?
Well, that's it. It's up to you.
Well, maybe we should.
AF, isn't it?
Maybe we should decide. At podcast@runnersworld.uk, should me and Rick decide on the rules?
talking about 10,000 metres, obviously, yeah. Samo Farah. And his 10K best is 26 minutes 46 seconds, which is quite quick as well. But he's likely to be facing Cheptegei, actually, excitingly, because he's now signed up for the Tokyo Olympics next summer.
Wow.
So Mo is doing it, which is massively exciting news, I think.
It is, yeah.
Mo's obviously, you know, he's done more than dabble in the marathon. He won the Chicago Marathon, won a major marathon, but it's possibly not been the complete kind of runaway success on the marathon as some people thought he would have.
He really did enter into a time of marathon running when it was the hardest it could have been.
It's a bit like deciding you want to sprint when like Usain Bolt's around.
Yeah, I'm going to be a sprinter now. Oh, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, to put it in perspective, Mo is the European record holder in the marathon. So it's like a fantastic achievement. And like his range is incredible. Like he's a British holder over, you know, everything from 1,500 metres to the marathon. Like,
yeah.
It's almost, I think that's possibly unprecedented. But still, he's back on the track, which is where he's best.
Yes.
At Tokyo. And he said, Mo was watching the Doha World Champs. And he said, it almost felt like I needed to be there. And at that point, it got me thinking. And then after Chicago, I still believe I've still got the drive and hunger. And all I want to do is just, you know, win races and do the best I... win races and do what I do best, but at the same time, enjoy it. And I have enjoyed the marathon, and I'm not finished with the marathon. But Tokyo, I'd like to go out there and see what I can do for my country in the Tokyo Olympics. So I think exciting times if you're, if you're a Brit and also just a fan of athletics, because that's going to be an interesting race, because who knows, Mo might not have it over the 10,000 metres anymore.
He's got to transition back down.
Yeah.
Takes a bit of time. I mean,
not doing the 5, interestingly. It doesn't feel like he has the pace, perhaps, for the 5. So I think exciting news for Team GB. And, I mean, he'd be a triple Olympic gold medalist, Ben.
That's pretty impressive.
Which is like, not many of them.
No.
Not many of them.
That's
so,
true. All right, well, that is food for thought.
Food for thought, indeed. So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A big thanks to our guest, Annie Rice, and to you, of course, for listening.
The Runner's World podcast was recorded at Number 8 Studios in Soho and is available on Acast, iTunes and all your favourite podcast apps. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a review and we will see you all again next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.